Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Usually when preacher types like me get to this scripture, faith without works is dead, we try to pair it with a mission so that after a stirring sermon where you feel really guilty, you'll sign up. Now, don't tell me that hasn't happened in churches. I know because I've done it myself. But I'm not going to talk about that particular part today because this church has been wonderful when there's a problem. In fact, if there's a disaster anywhere in the world and I say we're taking up an offering, money is practically thrown at me to go to whatever the disaster is at the time. If there's a mission work in our church, people sign up rapidly. They love to be working in the faith. And after all, that's what our faith is about, isn't it? We try to help the poor. In fact, when we have a mission dinner here, it's not only our own folks that come out, but people from other churches who might not even know what we're doing are so happy to give. We had a piggery project here where we sent money to Uganda. Now, we don't know anybody in Uganda, but there's a Moravian church and they needed money for this, and people came all over Dor Peninsula, even tourists came in to give money for that cause. We're very good about that. And so to try to rattle people and say, well, we've got to help the poor, we can say that we do help the poor. We do help the disenfranchised. We're generous people. So I want to talk about the first part of James. Somebody said that this piece of James is as clear as broken glass. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes come in, and you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, have a seat here, please. While to the one who is poor, you say, stand there or sit at my feet. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves? We see it time and time again in this country. Most of us would say we're very concerned about the homeless poor, as long as you put them not in my backyard. There was a wonderful neighborhood in Manhattan. It was Tony. The rents were skyrocketed, and the people who lived there were well-heeled and probably very generous people. The Moravian Church wanted to put a homeless project there. It was a project that would give apartment homes to older homeless folks. Well, the neighborhood was not pleased. And they talked about it within their neighborhood. They talked about it at the local store. And there was a local guy there. And they said to him, you know, what are we going to do about those people who'll be coming? And he quietly said, I'm one of those people. He had been homeless for a couple of years. None of his neighbors knew it. He didn't dare say a word. And he said, I'm one of the ones who'll be going into that project. Well, the project went up, and the young man who was heading the project had a degree in public administration, wonderful young man, and he was starting it from the ground floor. And I watched as he interacted with the people there. And one of the couples, very well-spoken couple that was taking an apartment, I said, they just don't seem to fit the mold of homeless. So I asked my young friend, what's their story? And he said, honestly, I can't tell you. I have not asked. It's really none of my business unless they tell me. He did not treat the people in that apartment building like clients, like people that he had to be charitable towards. And after he moved on to another project in another state, that one couple took over the ministry and ran it for years quite well. You see, James wants us to get past charity. It's not enough to give our money and to help people who are objects of our charity. What he's calling for is inclusion and friendship. And that's much more difficult, isn't it? It makes us feel good when we can help somebody, but does it make us feel good when that somebody becomes our friend? It's not an easy thing. After World War II, there was a great housing shortage. My parents found housing in a tenement in Brooklyn, and the reason that they found housing there was that was all they could afford. They had two young children. But there was another lady in their building who was quite well-to-do, and the reason she was there was there was no other housing. She was a debutante. She had her coming-out ceremony. She was college-educated. She was cultured. She was everything my parents weren't. My parents were solidly blue-collar. But they forged a friendship with this lady. And yes, she was very kind to them and very charitable, but beyond that, she became their friend. And any time this lady had a heartache, any time there was a problem in her life, she turned to my parents for support. They could not give her anything monetarily. They couldn't even speak her language in so many instances. But they blessed her because she didn't see them as objects of her charity. She saw them as friends. When I walked into my last church as a young pastor, I met a lady there who, I kid you not, looked just like a New York City bag lady. You know, the typical ones with all the shopping bags, and she kind of smelled like one too. She was a member of the church. She lived with a hoarder. And so if you walked into her house, for many years she wouldn't let me into her house, and I understood why when I walked in the first time. The hallways were covered from top to ceiling in trash. She had asthma. And so she breathed in all that air all the time. And the only time she got relief was when she'd be hospitalized for her asthma. They'd fix her up. She'd go back home and be in that terrible situation. The people in the church tried to get her out of it. They tried to persuade her that this was not a life that she deserved, but she refused to leave her home and her partner. And so they did whatever they could to help her. She was an object of charity. And yet, she sang in the choir. She was a poetess. And any time there was a special event, the congregation members would ask her to compose a poem. And she composed many beautiful poems. She also was an artist, and she made beautiful things. She was as much a part of that church as anyone who dressed finely was. And I learned something over the years, that when we have people who are objects of our charity, if they are not our friends, if they are not people that we can relate to on a different level, we are impoverished. I learned so much from that lovely lady and from the people around her. James put it this way. He said, do we really believe in our glorious Jesus Christ? And the glorious part of Jesus was that he stretched his arms wide to allow everyone to come in from all walks of life. And he gives us the opportunity to do the same. And our lives are richer for it. There are going to be many opportunities in our lives for acts of charity. And James challenges us to go beyond friendship, beyond the comforts of our own social circles, and widen it for all. And I think in my own life, if I had only stayed in my comfortable blue-collar existence, if I had only stayed where I felt the most at home in New York City, I wouldn't be here. There's so many adventures that wait for us when we open our hearts to the people around us, beyond charity, to friendship. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for the people you put in our lives, and most especially for those who are different, for those who are poor, for those who have had a hard scrabble existence, for you enrich us so much. And we ask, O Lord, that this week you will help us to enlarge the boundaries of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.